Braves, Bulldogs, Falcons, Yellow Jackets, Hawks, Eagles. From the heart of Georgia, it's the Bill Shank Show.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to our broadcast. I'm Bill Shanks here on this midweek show, talking sports for the next 4 hours. And we appreciate you being with us here on the Superstations. I apologize for being out the last 4 days. I was actually taking a couple of days late last week, and then I got sick and was in bed. And I just got out of bed to do the show, as a matter of fact. And I apologize in advance for sounding the way I do and for when I do laugh, or if you can hear the congestion, I'm sorry. I'm sick and I'm getting over it, and I'm going to kill Russ Brown. I mean, I don't want to like have that incriminate me or anything when we go to trial. I don't want for this to be played back and say, well, he said he was going to kill him on the air, but I mean, I'm going to kill him. No, I'm just kidding, of course. He gave me his cold, and you know what? We've been on this show together for 12 years, and he might have owed me one because we've given each other colds before. When you sit as close as we do every day for 4 hours and talk on the radio, you're going to have germs, obviously. But I'm doing better. But I do apologize in advance if you hear a little silence. I may have turned it down to cough, and because I don't like the sound of people on the air coughing and hacking and sneezing and sniffing, and I'm going to try my best to not do that. I do feel better, but boy, what a bad bug it was and has been, and hopefully we'll be over it. I think Russ and I will both feel better, and I've given Russ the afternoon off since he had to do both shows here the last couple of days, and I didn't want him to come and get more germs from me. But I think we'll both be better tomorrow because we're going to be in Hawkinsville at the steakhouse. So Lewis is going to be, nothing will make me feel better and get me back on track than fried scrimp from the steakhouse. And I'm sure some of the other great food that we'll have that Lewis will bring to us. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow. We hope that if you're somewhere in the area, you'll come by and say hello to us and also come by and have a little dinner. I think, unless I'm incorrect on this, I believe I'm right, that the buffet will start at 4:30 tomorrow. So we'll be on there at 3. So we hope you'll come by and see us at the steakhouse in Hawkinsville. All right. We have one guest on the show today, and that is Jim Callis from MLB.com. Jim will be on at 5 o'clock to talk about the Atlanta Braves and about the MLB draft that will be going on in about a month, now less than a month, I believe. And we'll have plenty of other things to talk about, including a little basketball, some football, and also some phone call time around 5:20. So we'll have a couple of segments for phone call time. And if I don't do very well here in trying to make it through the show, we may have it earlier than that, but I think I'm going to be okay. But we will have Jim Callis on, our only guest today, at 5 o'clock. And Braves, of course, still on the West Coast. We will not lead you into that, but we will lead you up till 7 o'clock. So we hope you'll be with us for the entire show and call us later on if you have a chance. So I'm at the house today. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you to expose the secret. I didn't want to get out in public. We'll give myself one more day to kind of recover, and I do feel better. It's one of those things, and Russ has said it himself, where you kind of feel better than you sound, and I do feel better. If I'd have had to try to fake it yesterday, I wouldn't have done a very good job of it. So one more day inside the house, and I'll be good to go and feel better tomorrow and look forward to that. All right. We have a lot to talk about with the Bravos, that's for sure. Last night, not a good night, 9-0, horrible game. Horrible from the very start with a bad first inning by Max Fried. He just didn't have the same stuff that he had had, obviously, in the first starts of his season. And then he got hit. Then he got hurt. And he was knocked out of the game with a bad line, obviously, of one inning and four runs that made his ERA go up a little higher. Most important part of the whole night, though, forget about the win or the loss, is that Max is – okay, the results of the x-rays were negative, which is positive, which means there was no break in the hand or in the arm on the line drive, and therefore he is listed as day-to-day. Of course, for a pitcher, that means hopefully he'll be able to make his next start, which would, I think, be on Sunday in Arizona. We'll see how they deal with it, see if they give him a little more time, and it's going to depend on how he feels probably today and how he'll feel tomorrow and Friday and just the next few days. Obviously, when you have an injury like that where you get popped with a line drive, you don't know how it's going to feel. You don't know how it's going to look. You don't know how it's going to affect how you deliver the ball as a pitcher. So we're probably not going to know until the weekend, really, whether or not Max is going to be able to ready to go. And let's wait and see. Let's not jump to any conclusions. If he has to miss a start, who cares? No big deal. Let's let him get better and get back as soon as he can to be back in that rotation. Obviously, have a big part in that rotation. The Braves were lucky last night to get four innings from Josh Tomlin, who has obviously done a very fine job this year, which has been a surprise. Probably one of the bigger surprises of the whole 25-man roster is that Josh Tomlin, who, I'll be honest with you, I laughed at the acquisition when they made it late in spring training, and he had that appearance on the last Saturday at Disney. I really just thought, why are they doing this? This guy was the starting pitcher in Cleveland. He can barely break 90. He got released out of the Brewers camp, could even make the Brewers as a starter or a reliever, and now the Braves are picking him up, and he has turned out to be very good. And the main reason is the man does not walk anybody. Have you noticed that? He is extremely efficient when it comes to putting the ball in the strike zone, and he just does not give up any walks, and that is a big reason I think he's had the success he's had, and it's been kind of refreshing, obviously, because of the issues that the bullpen has had when it comes to walk. But right now, Josh Tomlin has pitched 18.2 innings, and he's got two walks. You just about can't beat that right there. So he came in last night and did the job and was very effective. And, you know, they had Dan Winkler come in. He pitched well. Grant Dayton pitched well. And those two have done very well since coming up from Triple A Gwinnett. Last night, Jerry Blevins got blasted last night. He gave up four runs, including the third home run to Justin Turner. But he's been impressive overall, I think. You got to give them credit for bringing him in on a low-risk deal where they just practically bought him from the Triple A team, the Oakland A's. And, they obviously lost last night, and the bullpen did not hold the Dodgers down. But overall, I think we have to admit that it has been very, very improved from the first couple of weeks of the season. And there are still issues. There are still questions about who the closer is. I don't know. I don't know if Brian Snicker knows, to be honest with you. It's still a little bit of a mystery. I guess A.J. Minter, maybe Luke Jackson, maybe Jacob Webb. But for us to see some progress in this bullpen, even if it's one pitcher at a time and slowly but surely, is just somewhat of a breath of fresh air considering what we were kind of dealing with for a while there. Sean Newcomb came in on Monday, back from AAA, gave a big two-inning relief stint, and you've heard me the last several months talk about the potential need for a bridge pitcher, someone like Josh Tomlin has been to a certain extent, be that guy who can be in between a starting pitcher and a closer or the later inning relief pitchers, and maybe Sean Newcomb is that man. I think it's worth checking it out, especially with the attitude that he has right now, which is one of someone who's PO'd and who has a very aggressive attitude. That's what you need in a reliever. And why not? Let's see what he can do to have that kind of potential success in the bullpen. I think it's worth a try, to be honest with you. But so you've had Newcomb do better. You have Blevins, with the exception of last night, do very well. Grant Dayton has not allowed a run in his first five games. Jacob Webb still has not yet allowed an earned run in nine games. Dan Winkler, since he's come up in 11 games, has an ERA of 1.86. Josh Tomlin, as I said, 2.89 ERA right now. Luke Jackson's been perfect except for opening day. that's improvement. And now we've got to see if the rotation can get on track a little bit. We know that Kevin Gausman did not pitch well at all on Monday. Look, the Braves got Kevin Gausman, and they got him for nothing. So it was hard to complain too much about it, but he's kind of in the way of the young pitchers who I think are going to be much better. And I don't know if there's anything we can do about that right now. And some people would say the same thing for Julio Teheran, but I say to him more for Kevin Gausman. I think Gossman's a good pitcher. Don't get me wrong. And I think if the Braves did not have a lot of pitching depth, he would be more of a valuable player and a pitcher than he is right now. But I just don't want to block someone who may be better than him by having him in the rotation because he's struggled a little bit. He's inconsistent. We've got one going tonight, Mike Foltynewicz, who has been inconsistent. And so with the bullpen getting better and the rotation a little bit more of a question mark now, with the exception of Max Fried and Mike Soroka, and now Max is hurt or was hurt last night, you have some question marks there, and you have to get that rotation in order. One thing that I looked up this morning that I was really wondering about last night, and it was, what is Atlanta's record against teams with a winning record? Now, they're at 500. They've played 36 games. They're 5 games away from the 1/4 mark of the season. After Sunday's game in Arizona, they'll be at the quarter mark of the year, so they'll have 120 games left, obviously. But I kind of wondered, all right, so far, small sample size, what have they done against teams that today have a winning record? And their record against those teams is 7-11. Now, that's not awful. It's not great, and it's not necessarily impressive. And I think, I know Russ was saying on Monday, I heard him for a few moments, that this is an interesting test for the Braves because obviously they're playing two very good teams. They're playing 3 games in Los Angeles and then 4 in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks, 2 teams that are having very good season so far. And of course the Dodgers are the preeminent team in baseball, or in the National League, I should say, to this point. But when we're trying to see what this team is and if they can be like last year and if they are going to be like last year, I think when you see a team that they have to play like the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks this weekend as well, you're kind of curious of how they're going to perform. Well, they haven't done very well the first 2 nights. Obviously, they haven't done very well in Los Angeles and against the Dodgers the last couple of years. It's been a problem. But what is this team going to be? And it's not unusual that here we are before Memorial Day and before the 1/4 mark that we're still curious about what a baseball team is going to be. I think when you're at the 1/4 mark or close to the 1/4 mark of any team in any sport, hockey, football, basketball, or baseball, you don't know what your team is maybe until mid-year or maybe even until the 3/4 mark. You don't know whether your team or you hope to have an idea of what your team can be, but I think it's not unusual to have questions of where a team is still kind of finding its way, of kind of at that fork in the road or trying to see where that team's going to be. I don't know if we know what the Braves are yet. I don't know if we know that yet. I think it's still a question mark, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a question of trying to find their way and how much better are they going to be a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 4 months from now, compared to May 8th. And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't. I think there are concerns. There are reasons to be concerned. There are a lot of bright spots that make you feel good about the potential for them to turn things around and to be more than a 500 team. But you may remember several years ago, mainly before last season, when I was expecting the Braves to be more of a 500 team than a 90-win team. And I said that it is a very difficult season to endure when you have a team that is a 500 team, because that kind of team will fool you. It will have a good week, and you'll be thinking, all right, they're better than what we thought they are. They're going to survive. They're going to be really good. They're going to have a good record. And then if it's really a 500 team, they'll turn around the next week and have a bad week, and it'll make you think if they'll ever win another game. I think that may be a little too harsh when it comes to the Braves right now, but they are at 500, and they have had good stretches. They have had bad stretches. So we haven't seen a winning streak. We haven't seen a run. We haven't seen them a good or a bad run, really. So I think that's why we're still curious about what this team is going to be. Now, I think there could be some criticism and say, well, why are we in this position for a team that last year won 90 games, that if they had truly been improved over the offseason, we would not be in this spot wondering why this team is still lingering around the 500 mark. I think we all still believe, even with the improvement that we have seen, that if the bullpen had been better coming into the year, they probably would not be a 500 team and might even be in first place. But the losing record against teams with a winning record right now does bother me a little bit, because this team, this Braves team, has not been overly impressive. They've had some good wins, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Sunday was a good win, but they were playing the Marlins. Georgia and Georgia Tech might be able to beat the Marlins. I mean, they're just not a very good baseball team. And so we're still trying to search and see what this Braves team's going to be. Am I more optimistic than pessimistic? Well, I'm optimistic in that we're going to be able to see a lot of good young talent. I don't know if that's going to mean they're going to win. And one of the other things I've said since spring training that I was a little afraid of this year was that this year's Braves, the 2019 team, may turn out to be what we expected last year's team to be, which was the team that followed up a 72-win season in 2017. And instead, it went from 72 wins to 90 wins, and there was kind of nothing in between. Might they back up this year to where it's more closer to the 500 mark, and we see that kind of season this season instead of what we saw last year? I think that's possible. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. And of course, the improved division, well, the perceived improved division, I don't know how much improved it really is. The Nationals are getting beat again. They're awful. They may fire their manager here before Memorial Day. They've already fired their pitching coach. The Mets won last night in San Diego. They're not impressing anyone so far. And the Phillies, if not for the three wins at the beginning of the year over the Braves, I don't know how great they would look either. So anyway, it's just an interesting first month of the season, and you wish they could have some really good performances against some good teams. They'll have a chance tonight when they play against Clayton Kershaw. And it'll be Mike Foltynewicz against Clayton Kershaw. The pregame show will be at 8:55. First pitch at 10:10. Final game at Dodger Stadium. And we'll see if the Braves can salvage one game out of the series with L.A. that's just had their number here the last couple of years, even going back to 2013 with the division series, with Craig Kimbrel still standing in the bullpen waiting for Freddy Gonzalez to make that call. So we'll talk more Braves baseball coming up next, with some thoughts on the suspension of Kevin Gausman, and also two players that are absolutely killing it in the minor leagues right now that we have to pay attention to. We'll talk NBA playoffs, and we'll talk a little Georgia basketball. The official word on the signing of another great prospect came down today, plus some more Georgia talk, UGA talk, including a little accident that happened yesterday we'll tell you about. And we'll talk a little football as well, including some thoughts on Georgia and the non-conference strengthening of that schedule that continues with the Oklahoma series that has been announced. And we'll talk about Mike Bianchi. You might have heard about this. Mike Bianchi, the talk show host and columnist down in Orlando, has been mouthing off about Georgia, and we'll talk about that later on in our show. Jim Callis joins us at 5 o'clock from MLB.com to talk baseball and about the Braves. Russ Brown has the day off. I appreciate you listening here on this Wednesday. I'm Bill Shanks, and you're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. 23 minutes after the hour. Thank you very much for being with us here on this Wednesday. More Braves talk now. The news that Kevin Gausman was suspended for 5 games for throwing behind Jose Urena last Friday night was rather ridiculous. There are some things that happen in baseball that just make you say, what the heck are they doing? And I think that was one of them. really, really stupid. Look, baseball should hold everything kind of together since they wanted to punish him for the retaliation on Jose Urena throwing at Ronald Acuna. Urena got 6 games last year. And he basically admitted that he was purposely trying to hurt Ronald Acuna because he was good, not because of anything else that had happened. Not because of a bat flipping incident or that he would try to dog anybody or be a hot dog or anything like that, just because Urena was PO'd that Acuna was that good. He got 6 games, which means he missed one start. I assume he missed one start. Sometimes with off days, you can even avoid that. But I think that he probably missed one start. And so then the Braves, first time they get a crack at throwing at Urena, Gausman goes and throws behind him. And let's be totally honest, it was ridiculous. A lot of jokes that were said, I'm sure, and you were probably one of them, that, holy crap, the Braves can't even hit somebody when they need to hit somebody. And it was close, but he got out of the way. But by gosh, if you're going to hit someone, hit him. Hit him. Bob Gibson, can you imagine? And of all the players, we've had this discussion before where I've asked the question, if there was one player in sports that you wish you could have seen that played basically before you were alive, who would it be? And mine is probably Bob Gibson, because I love pitching and I love what I have read and heard about Bob Gibson. Now, Gibson pitched after 1970, but I never saw him pitch on television or anything beyond old videos. Never saw him pitch a full game. Never saw him work a batter. Never saw him dominate like he did because I was too young. And I just think Bob Gibson would throw up at some of the things he sees in pitching today. Number one, of how the pitchers use. I'd love to, if I could interview anybody, it'd be Bob Gibson. I don't know if we could replay his answers because he may be too vulgar. And I'm not saying he's a vulgar man, but his reaction to my questions about how pitchers are used and how pitchers are coddled and how pitchers are cared for and babied and everything like that may cause him to have a coronary. Because the way he was a tough son of a gun who, by gosh, when he was on the mound, that was his territory. Do you think if he had had an opportunity to retaliate against a pitcher who had hit one of his batters, he would have missed him? No. From everything I've read, the answer to that is no. He would have hit him. Now, he might have hurt him because he was Bob Gibson, but I didn't want to hurt Jose Urena. I wasn't going to solve anything. I didn't want to knock him out. I didn't want to put him on the injured list. I didn't want to break his arm, break his head, break his neck, break anything. I didn't want to do that. But I just wanted them to hit him. Batters get hit every day in baseball. It's no big deal. Yeah, some of them get hurt really bad, and that's unfortunate when that happens. And I don't want anybody to get hurt. I certainly don't want anybody to have a head injury because we have too many head injuries in sports, and it's troubling. But I wanted him to hit him, even if they hit him on his butt. Hit him. He hit ours for no stinking reason. No reason. There was no reason to hit Ronald Acuna. You don't hit somebody because they're good. That's Bush League. I think everybody knows that. And Gausman missed him. Like, you got to be kidding, dude. All you had to do was hit him, and you missed him. And it was kind of typical. You had to laugh when you saw it if you were watching. It was like, oh, my God, they can't even hit the guy. You know, I mean, everybody knew what the heck was going to happen. It was expected. And now they can't hit him. Now they can't hit him. David O'Brien said on Monday on the Midday Sports Zone replayed on our show in the afternoon, and he was right. You can't do anything else now because it's just going to look stupid. You had your chance, you missed him, and you got to move on. And that's a damn unfortunate situation because throwing at him is one thing. Hitting him on the butt, at least, would serve some type of message. Would he get it? I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, he hadn't hit Acuna again. But still, the fact they missed him is unbelievable. And the suspension is also stupid. Ridiculous. Urena should have been suspended, what, 10, 15 games? He should have been forced to miss two or three starts because of his actions last year. And instead, he only got six games. So, you know, that's what's going on with the baseball hierarchy right now, as they try to legislate what's going on and who deserves what kind of punishment. And I don't know. It certainly, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And Gossman is appealing the suspension, I still believe. So hopefully it'll be getting knocked down and he won't have to miss a start. All right. A couple more things I wanted to mention about the Braves. I have been on the Austin Riley bandwagon for a while. And you know how I kind of grow a little affection toward these minor league players who I think are going to be really good. I had it for Folty. He turned out to be pretty good. We'll see tonight if he can keep that going or get on track for this year. Had it for Max Fried, Mike Soroka. I've been right about those two so far. I'm not perfect. I miss occasionally, JoJo Reyes. But Austin Riley has just been a kid that I'm like, man, this kid's going to be a star. And last night he had another RBI, a couple more hits. And his numbers at AAA Gwinnett are outstanding. 300 batting average, 373 OBP, 10 home runs, 29 RBI, and 120 at-bats for AAA Gwinnett. 10 home runs, 29 runs batted in, and 120 at-bats. Multiply that by 5, you do the math. 50 home runs and 145 runs batted in. Last 12 games, though, Austin Riley has hit .444, 20 hits and 45 at-bats, 8 home runs, 20 runs batted in, 6 doubles, 7 walks, by the way, hello, and a .519 on base percentage with those 7 walks. Now, we all know that Austin Riley is blocked by Josh Donaldson. To quote Bruce Hornsby, that's just the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it. Donaldson's the third baseman this year, and unless he gets hurt, he's not going to be moved out of the way for anybody. Austin Riley's going to have to stay down in AAA until something happens to make room for him, whether it's an injury, whether it's, damn, we've got to get this guy in the lineup at any cost, let's get him in there and play left field, or a trade or something. And I don't know when that will happen or how that will happen, but Austin Riley continues to show all of us that he is more than ready for the big leagues. When you send a player down to AAA who had finished the previous season in AAA, you hope that the player, quote unquote, tells you he's ready. Now, this doesn't mean he runs into the manager's office in AAA and says, I'm ready, by gosh, you need to send me down to the to send me up to the big leagues. No, it's not a verbalization that I'm ready. It is done by showing that they're bored in AAA and they don't need to be there. I think Austin Riley is doing just that. He continues to do very well, and I think he's going to be a great player. Now, Austin Riley is 22 years old. There's a 20-year-old in AA that we need to pay attention to as well. We talked about him on the show as well. A lot recently, and we interviewed both of these kids back in spring training, by the way. But Drew Waters is a 20-year-old outfielder. He was a second-round pick 2 years ago out of a high school in Atlanta. And this kid is absolutely on fire. You got to understand something, that a 20-year-old in the Southern League in AA is not normal. When the Braves brought up Jeff Francoeur and Brian McCann after they had early season success in 2005, that was not normal. You don't have every 20-year-old in AA, particularly from the start of the season, tear up the Southern League. That's just very unusual. And Drew Waters is tearing up the Southern League. Today in their game, which just finished a little while ago, Drew Waters was 3-for-5. He now has his batting average up to 349, 44 hits and 126 at bats. 349 batting average. And the last 12 games, he's hit .438 with 2 home runs, including a walk-off last night. 4 runs batted in, 21 hits, 48 RBI, 21 hits, 48 at-bats, 2 home runs, 4 RBI, 5 doubles, no walks. Drew Waters is almost Jeff Francoeur-like with this. No walks. So his OBP is what his batting average is, which is .438 in his last 12 games. But this kid can hit. And I want to tell you, I don't even know how good this kid can be yet. I think he's only scratching the surface. And he is leading the Southern League in batting with a .349 batting average. And I don't know how you can't be impressed by that, because this kid's outstanding. He's an outstanding prospect. The Braves have two of the best outfield prospects in the sport in Drew Waters and Christian Pache, who is also in AA. Pache had a stolen base today. He is over 300 himself, one of the league leaders in a lot of offensive categories, or in the top 10 of a lot of offensive categories. And Pache is also, I think, exceeding expectations to show everyone how close he is to the big leagues. I mean, we're talking about two kids that are proving that a year from now they may need to belong in Atlanta, even at 21 years old, which is what they'll be next year. Not often you have another pair of 21-year-olds in the big leagues. The Braves already have now 21-year-old Ronald Acuna, 22-year-old Ozzie Albies. But we may have a couple more kids that can't even legally drink on the way. Because Waters, I watched Drew Waters a lot this spring. And I met him for the first time, interviewed him. And just a very pleasant young man. I actually kept him a little too long for the interview because I was enjoying our conversation. And he had to kind of run to go to his workout. And I felt horrible about it. But he was just could not have been nicer. Just a nice kid. Braves don't have many bad apples in there. And smart kid. Just confident, and I had heard he was cocky, but not in a bad way. Confident, just a confident young man. And I tell you, I came away thoroughly impressed. And then I watched him hit, and I'm like, man, this kid's got a really good swing. But boy, I never could have imagined that after a full month in the minor leagues that Drew Waters would be leading the Southern League with a .349 batting average. That shocks me, even, and it might shock some of the people who even predict the success that he's had, but because you just don't see very many 20-year-olds go to the Southern League and hit .349. You just don't. What is this going to mean for the Braves? Well, I think one thing that we can almost count on, and I don't think anybody is going to cry about this, but the future for Ender Inciarte is a short one. I don't know about Nick Markakis. He's under contract for next year, obviously, at a very low amount. You know, it would be basically a $5 million contract, but you're talking about the possibility of two players who could be all-star performers like Ronald Acuna being ready to go next year. That's what Waters and Pache are. And at the least, I think it means Ender Inciarte's future with this team is not very long. I think he's going to be traded. I think that if I'm Alex Anthopoulos, I'm trying to include Ender Inciarte in every trade discussion I have. And people are going to think, oh my God, well, you want to get rid of Ender Inciarte? Why? He's struggling off the bat. You know, but he's a Gold Glove winner. He's had 200 hits before in his career. He's still young. It's not like he's gotten even a 30 yet. Why are you wanting to trade him? Well, I'm wanting to trade him because I got two kids in AA who are tearing it up. That's why I want to trade him, not because he's a bad player. And can they pull that off? Could they, you know, I've even thought about this. Could they trade Ender Inciarte to San Francisco for Madison Bumgarner? And the Giants fans may think, oh, my God, no, you're kidding. Well, Bumgarner is going to leave the Giants after this year and become a free agent. And I think Atlanta's going to be one of his premier destinations or possible destinations because of the proximity to his home in North Carolina. So, sure, the Braves could give the Giants some prospects, there's no doubt, but could they get a better major league player than Ender Inciarte back in that deal to play center field in the Giants? I mean, they've had some outfield issues. They just called up Mac Williamson. They traded, obviously, for Kevin Pillar. They just DFA'd Parra, who is just signed with the Nationals. But, I mean, they've got some outfield issues that might be helped by Ender Inciarte. But I think Inciarte is gone. I don't know how he can stay around even past this year. I'm not saying he's going to be traded today or tomorrow or next week or next month, but I don't know how he could be on this team a year from now. Because these two kids, Drew Waters and Christian Pache, are tearing it up in AA. And if you follow me on Twitter, go to my Twitter page, at Bill Shanks, and look at the retweet I had from last night of the Mississippi Braves Twitter account when they had the video of Drew Waters' home run, walk-off home run, and get back to me. Let me know what you think about that swing. By the way, Kyle Wright has been scratched from his start tonight for Gwinnett, and that means that he'll be the one called up to Los Angeles to probably join the bullpen. Ugh, I don't like this stuff, but they don't have any choice. They don't really have any choice, but I don't like it. I don't, but they need a long reliever. Look, they've got to have a long reliever tonight because Tomlin, their long reliever, went four innings last night after Freed got knocked out in the second inning. So Tomlin, you know he can't pitch tonight. And with Folty, I mean, heck, what happens if Folty gets knocked out early? And I hate to say that because that's kind of expecting the worst, but Folty's hadn't got his legs underneath him yet. He's still trying to do that. So they've got to have someone who can go multiple innings. And if Folty comes out anywhere below the fifth, Kyle Wright will be the one to come in and do that and pitch. And I'll take that. I'm not opposed to that. I just don't want for him to get used up badly because of this situation. Because I think by the end of the year, Kyle Wright's going to be in that Atlanta rotation. It's going to be just right there with Mike Soroka and Max Fried as one of the premier pieces for this future rotation. Braves tonight, 8:55 pregame, 10:10 first pitch here on the Superstations. We'll take a break, come back. We will talk a little NBA. We're less than a week away from the draft lottery. Good gosh, I can't wait. 6 days away. We'll talk about that and more when we return on this Wednesday right after this. Don't forget tonight, 8:55 pregame, first pitch 10:10. Braves Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw, Mike Fultonevich, the two pitchers on the mound. Good luck, Braves. Let's talk NBA for a moment. We are less than a week away, as I just said, from the NBA draft lottery. And I can't wait. I hate it when there's a sporting event like, you know, the first day of the season or a big game that you know is coming, that you just have that feeling in your gut like, man, I cannot wait. And you want that clock to run fast. We don't need the clocks to run faster in our lives. Those daggum things are out of control already, aren't they? They sure don't move at the same speed that they moved at when we were in eighth grade algebra waiting for the 3 o'clock bell to hit. And that damn clock seems sitting on 2:42. No, it goes a little quick now, but man, I cannot wait for Tuesday night with the NBA draft lottery to see what the Atlanta Hawks are going to be able to get. They're going to go in, of course, at number 5, and it's going to be pure luck. They got like a 42% chance of getting a top 4 pick. And we just have to hope and pray that they are the lucky ones to get Zion Williamson. Not any team is the overwhelming favorite to get this kid. As you know, the top three teams are the ones that have the best chance, and they're all tied, same percentage, like 12.5, which is like 2% more than the Hawks' chances are. So it's literally luck of the draw. And that's fine. You know, I mean, look, if it was the regular way, the old way, the prior year way, then what would the Hawks have a chance at? Not much. The chances might have been a little bit more, but not, I don't think very much. I'd have to go back and look, but everybody, of course, is just holding their breath because some lucky team next Tuesday night is going to know that next month when the NBA draft rolls around, they're going to be able to pick a franchise type player in Zion Williamson. And not only a franchise type player, but a franchise. Well, I guess that's the only appropriate term to use, because franchise type player does obviously also mean not only the potential performance on the court that could happen, but just everything with the franchise. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks have not had a signature player since number 21 was traded in 1992. That was 27 years ago. A lot of you listening, this is awful. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I say things that just make me feel like I'm 84. I swear to God, it's unbelievable. I'm not. I'm 49. I'm not that old. I'm old compared to some of you. Some of you are probably older than I am. But sometimes I say things on my own daggum show that make me feel like I'm at the home spitting up. I'm at Carlisle Place on the front porch rocking. It's like, what the hell? But the thought that some of you listening to the show have no memory of either Dale Murphy playing with the Braves or Dominique Wilkins playing with the Hawks bothers me. Bothers me violently. But the Hawks haven't had a franchise player in 27 years. They've had good players. They've had Steve Smith. They've had Dikembe Mutombo. They had Mookie Blaylock. They had Josh Smith, Joe Johnson, Paul Millsap. Good players. But they haven't had anybody like number 21. And if they get lucky next Tuesday, they're going to have someone finally like Dominique Wilkins. People, look, 35 years ago, fans in the state were naming their pets after Dominique Wilkins. There were more Dominiques in this state than ever before, and he was gone. After 11 years, he was gone. And they haven't had anybody like that. So this is a big deal. This is a really, really big deal. And that's why I'm just so excited. I just hope they can get lucky. That's all anybody is going to be able to do going into this, is just hope they are lucky. Because it is basically like going to the roulette table in Vegas. I want to get lucky. I want to be able to have a little bit of luck on my side and come out the winner on that night. And you know what? Somebody's going to. One of those teams is going to have a chance to have a franchise-type player, and it's going to be awfully fun to see how it'll all shake out and who will be that team that gets the prize and the jewel of this draft. Hawks have a 10.5% chance of getting that pick. I was wrong. I need to do my numbers a little bit more correctly. The top three teams have a 14% chance each to get the first pick in the draft. New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix all at 14%. Chicago at 12.5%. Then Atlanta, 10.5%. Then Washington, 9%. Then it drops off fairly quickly to New Orleans, Memphis, and Dallas, who all tied. They are at 6%. Minnesota, 3%. Lakers, 2%. And if the Lakers get him, I'm going to throw up. I want to tell you something. We should all make a pact, can we? If the Los Angeles Lakers at 2% get Zion Williamson, we are never watching basketball again, the entire sport. Forget about college. Sorry, Coach Green. We're never watching it again, because that will be the biggest fraud in the history of the world. Let's be honest. No doubt about it. And the Lakers are such a mess. I want to tell you, since I've been sick the last couple of days and in bed, going back to Friday when I was in bed, ESPN ought to be called the NBA Network. All they care about is the NBA, and that's fine. And I'm talking about television, not radio. All right, I'm talking about TV. But they, you know, Mike Fiers had a no-hitter last night for Oakland, his second no-hitter. I mean, it was on ESPN today, but not much. It was all NBA, and it's the playoffs, so look, it's a big deal. I understand that, and there's some big games coming up tonight. There were big games last night. There were two blowouts, but they were big games. But ESPN, and I know most of you are at work, you're not sitting at home watching TV every day, but it's amazing to me the percentage of content on that network right now, which is NBA related. It is overwhelming. And yes, you know, NFL's off, no draft. I mean, there was some NFL talk, not much, some baseball, but my word, it was so NBA heavy, and it always is. It's not just because it's May 8th. It's just, that's just kind of what ESPN's become. And, of course, Stephen A. screaming like a crazy man. Speaking of the playoffs last night, Toronto blew out Philadelphia 125-89. Toronto now leads the series 3-2. How about that? Isn't that amazing? And tonight, the other game in the Eastern Conference, Boston at Milwaukee. Bucks will try to close it out. They are leading the series 3-1, Milwaukee is. So if Toronto wins their next game and Milwaukee wins tonight, it's going to be a Toronto and Milwaukee Eastern Conference Final. I'm sure the networks are not thrilled with that possibility because we all believed, I think, that it would be a Boston-Philadelphia Eastern Conference Final, which would have been fun. No doubt, would have been fun because of the history of these two franchises going back many, many years. And yet, it looks like Toronto and Milwaukee are on the cusp of closing it out. Denver blew Portland out last night. Not as bad as the other game, but nonetheless, the Nuggets lead that series 3-2. Tonight, Houston and Golden State tied at 3. Oh, my God, the drama of those two teams. Oh, my. The NBA, I've never seen. I know there's drama in every sport in different ways, but have you ever seen more drama than what the NBA has? It is unbelievable. That's why it's on ESPN all the time, because it's all drama all the time. I mean, it's like, oh, James Harden, Chris Paul. Then you got all the Golden State stuff. Where is Klay Thompson? Is this Kevin Durant's last game? I mean, you just go on and on and on and on. It's crazy. But if it's and it might be Denver and Golden State in the Western Conference Final, which would be kind of interesting as well. So we'll see what happens with the NBA. It's fun basketball right now. It is fun to watch, even though last night's games were not close at all. Don't forget now, Braves pregame show tonight at 8:55, first pitch at 10:10, Braves in LA here on the Superstations. And you are listening to The Bill Shank Show.